Okay, today we're learning Nida Daf Chet. I'm going to go backtrack a little to what we saw at the end of class because it was quite complicated and it was at the end of class. We were in the middle of discussing four cases where we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, if you remember. And the fourth case brought was this case about Achorei Kelim, okay, and about Mashkin. So what does this mean? So again, let's just review. Generally, right, an Av makes something a Rishon makes something a Sheni makes something a Shlishi only if it's Truma and Kodshim, and then a Shlishi can make a Revi only if it's Kodshim. But there's rules about what can make what, right? So Avatuma can make anything, right? Adam, Kelim, right? Can make anyone Tamei Arishon. But Arishon can only make food and drink. And after that, it's only food and drink. Food and drink can't go, right? Can't go back to Adam and Kli. However, the rabbis were gozer, because of a Zav and a Zava, that their liquids can make something Tamei. So the liquids of a Zav and a Zava carry Tumah. Okay, high-level Tumah. Okay, and therefore, the rabbis were gozer that also any liquid, I forgot to mention this important point yesterday, that comes from an avatumah, because remember, an avatumah can make adam, kelim, food and drink. Any liquid that's metame by an avatumah, which could be a sheretz, right, a dead sheretz, or a person who is a tame mate, because remember, the dead person is an aviavotatumah, someone who becomes tame is an avatumah, or anyone, a nida who's an avatumah. So any of those who make a mashke tamei, that mashke has the status that it can make a kli tamei, even though normally liquids can never make kelim, that makes a kli tamei. Now, there's because it's only derabanan, there's a bit of a difference, which we're going to see today, but I'll kind of preface it, it'll make it easier for you, which is that normally, in a regular kli, not a kli cheres, okay, if you remember, there's a whole deal with the kli cheres, only if something goes into the airspace of the kli cheres, and if it touches it on the outside, it doesn't make a tamei. There's a difference between inside and outside. If a sheretz falls into the airspace of the kli, then the kli becomes tamei, but not the outside of the kli. So if something touches the outside of the kli, it doesn't make a tamei. Since in kli cheres there's this distinction, but in regular kelim there's no distinction. If something goes inside a kli, everything about the kli is tamei. So if something touches the outside, it also becomes tamei. And likewise, if it becomes tamei by something touching the outside, the inside becomes tamei. However, since there's already a distinction that exists by kli cheres, the rabbis said we're going to distinguish here. They wanted to make some kind of heker that this gzera of mashkin is only derabanan. They wanted to make sure why, because if they don't make clear it's derabanan, what's going to happen? People will think that it's doraita. If they think it's doraita, they're going to burn truma that gets ruined. And you're not allowed to burn truma if mida oraita. We're going to have a lot of things today about doraita derabanan level, where there's different things going on at different levels. On a derabanan level, it's pasul truma because it was nitma mida rabanan. But on the doraita level, it's good truma because it wasn't pasul. So you can't burn it. That's all we've been talking about, totally. So what happened? They said when it comes to Acholei Kelim, we're going to make a distinction here with the mashkin. That a mashke that touches, if after this kli became tamei, and something comes in contact with the outside of that kli, we're going to say the outside of the it can only be mitame mashkim that come in contact with it, and not foods. That's what we saw yesterday, okay? So let's just read it inside. Okay, we start from the beginning, Ditznan, about 13 lines to the bottom. Achorei kelim shenitme'u b'mashkin. Okay, so if the kli became tamei by a liquid, Rabbi Eliezer omer mitamim mitamashkin ve'ein poslin et ha'ochlin. So if that kli, the outside of it, became tamei from a liquid, it can only be mitamei liquids. Okay, so remember, you had a liquid that was a rishon. Okay, let's say I touched coffee. I was in Avatuma, I touched coffee. That coffee now spills on the back of a kli, the outside of a kli, not on the inside. It spills on the outside. And then some liquid comes in contact with the outside of that kli. Some other cup, liquid came in contact with it. That liquid is tamei. But if food came in contact with the outside of that kli, it wouldn't be, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, that's his unique shita. And then we saw, right, that it's even mitame chulin, that are mashkim, but it doesn't mitame truma even, if it's food, right? Food across the board, no. Drinks across the board, yes. Whether it's chulin or truma, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Yeshua tried to bring this kavach homer and say, it makes no sense what you're saying. And Rabbi Eliezer said, and I don't want to read everything over, but Rabbi Eliezer says, you're comparing it to tful yom, which is d'oraita, and this is d'orabanan. You can't make a kavach homer from a d'oraita to a d'orabanan. Okay, that's where we ended yesterday. So now We're going to start from Umayshna, okay? Five lines from the bottom. That's where we ended yesterday, right? Umayshna chorei kelim dinaka dinaka. Why was this thing that Shmuel said about the, that Rabbi Lezer said about the outside of the kli, that the outside is only mitamei liquids, why is it only about the outside of a kli? So the answer is mishum dekile, because there's a whole kula about the achorei kelim. Once they were already mekel by that in the gzera, will be mekel even more. And if you want to make a heker and say, we're going to try to show everybody this only drabanan and we're going to be mekel so everybody knows, well, let's be mekel in the more mekel case of it. So what's the kula here? Because it says here, ditznan, kli shenitma me'achorav b'mashkin, achorav tamei, tocho ozno ognovi adav tohin. If it's nitma from the outside, only the outside is tamei. All the other parts, the handles, like a rounded handle, that's the ozen, like an ear, or the ogen, the rim, or the yad, like a long straight handle, all those are tohin, but nitma tocho, but if the inside becomes tamei, nitma kulo tamei. Then the whole kli is tamei. So you see here that we rule the outside much more leniently, and that's why when they made this hakir, they made it with the outside of the kli. Okay, now going back to the fact that Shmuel said we paskin like Rabbi Lezer in four things. We're now going to have a lot of questions about this. My kamash malan Shmuel. First question is, what's he coming to teach us? Bikulu tnan hilchata. In all of these cases, even though we're going to see in a second, it's only three, but three out of the four cases, in the Mishnah Brayta itself, we're quoting Rabbi Lezer's opinion, it said halachaka Rabbi Lezer. So why does Shmuel, right? Tanaim Moraim don't generally review things that the Tanaim said. So b'kulu tnan hilchata. V'chi tema achorei kelim. Now the one we just read, it didn't say anywhere halachaka Rabbi Lezer. Maybe because of that one. Well, kamash malan, that's what he wanted to teach us when he said we paskel like him in four, and he wanted to just include that other case that it wasn't obvious. Kamashmalan delotznan, because of that one, it doesn't say it in the Mishnah. V'leima halachak Rabbi Lezer b'chorei kelim. Okay, maybe that's what it was coming to teach us. Ela hakamashmalan. Oh, sorry, I didn't read it right. V'leima, he should have said then halachak Rabbi Lezer b'chorei kelim. If he wanted to just teach us that one, because the other ones it already says it, he would have just said halachak Rabbi Lezer b'chorei kelim. So he can't say that. What did he want to teach us? She'ein lemedin halacha mipi Talmud. This is a fascinating line. Talmud here, by the way, doesn't mean Talmud. It means Mishnah, Braita. And it means you can't learn halacha from Mishnayot.
Wow.
Now, this is crazy, yes. Right? It's insane. What do you mean? Okay, so I'll give you two ways of reading this. One is to take it literally. And how can you explain that? Well, it means that if an Amora decides to pasken halacha, you know, the Amora doesn't trust what the Mishnah said. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't trust. It's just, if the Mishnah paskens, well, the Mishnah, two possible reasons why. The Mishnah doesn't really go in depth into everything. And also, if we always say halacha kebatrai, we follow the later people, even though we have this concept, the earlier people, there's always this tension. The earlier people know more and they're more knowledgeable. On the other hand, it's like midgets on the shoulders of giants, right? They have more perspective. The Amoraim. They see everything. They see all the opinions of the Tanaim. They see things that maybe the Tanaim didn't see, right? Because we bring in Braitot from all over, and they have more perspective. So therefore, we don't paskin halacha based on Mishnah. We only paskin based on Gemara. Very interesting. The Rashba has trouble with this, right? The Rashba says, this doesn't make any sense. What does he say? Well, look at where do we say it? In this sugya. Why is this sugya unique? Because we said, Rabbi Lezer's a shamuti. When there's reason to think that the Mishnah is wrong or that there's a problem with paskening like this person, because we don't pasken like him because either he's a Shammai guy and we don't pasken like a Beit Shammai guy, we don't pasken like Beit Shammai, or because he was put in excommunication and we don't pasken like him. And because of that, they needed to specifically say, in a case like that, now it didn't exactly say that, but right? So you have to add the words, she'en lemedin halacha mipi Talmud, in a case like this. Okay, so that makes you feel better, Ani. Anyway, it's interesting. Okay, well, that's the first thing. But now, he said, halacha zekor b'lezer in four cases. Vituleika, are there no more? Right, we always get into this, right? As soon as you give a number, wait, nothing else. V'ha'ika, but there is, ditnan, as it says in the following source, Rabbi Lezer omer melamdim etak tanasha tema'em. Okay, we're going to go back to Yibum, Yivamot. Okay, we have one person, two brothers marry two sisters. Now, if you remember, there's different ways a person can be married off, right? A person can be of age and they can get married to someone with their da'at, right, their own. Okay, that's marriage do'oraita, kiddushim we're talking about. Then you have a case where you have a ktana. So a ktana can't get married by herself, but her father can marry her off d'oraita. Okay, I told you we're going to get to d'oraita, d'rabbanan levels. But if you have a ktana who is orphaned, which means her father died, her mother or her brother can marry her off. However, it doesn't have validity mid'oraita. It's only kiddushin mid'rabbanan. And if you remember, she's allowed to get out of it by what's called mi'un. She can refuse. She can say when she gets of age, she can say, not interested in being married to this man. No need for a get. Nothing. She walks out the door. She's finished. The kiddushin is as if it never happened. So now we have a weird case where two brothers married two sisters. One was of age, one was of not. And they were both yitomot. It doesn't really matter if the older one was a yitoma, but they were both yitomot. And now one is married mid'oraita to one brother, and one is married to Rabbanan to the other brother. The one is married to Oraita, the brother dies, they have no kids. She now falls to Yibum, to the brother, but the brother's married to her sister. He can't marry her. On the other hand, on a d'oraita level, he has to marry her because of Yibum, and there's no marriage to the sister on a d'oraita level. So we're a little bit stuck. So what do? Rabbi Lezer says, you recommend to the ktana to do miun, and then that resolves it. Then it's as if she was never married to the brother, and then the sister can marry the brother without a problem. Okay? That's what he recommends. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. And in fact, what do you see there? The same person, Shmuel Paskins halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. So you see there's a fifth case. So what do they answer? Ki Amar Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer be'arba'a. When they said that, b'seder taharot. They were only talking about in the world of Taharot, like what we're all now, we're dealing in the world of Taharot. That's what we meant. Four cases in Taharot, it doesn't mean there aren't cases outside of Taharot that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, like miun. Okay, so now they say, and v'hachinam yistavron will further prove it, ditnan, as it says in the Mishnah in Chala. Okay, now, in order to be chayv in Chala, you need a minimum shi'or. Let's say you're making a dough, you have three different batches of dough, and neither has enough of a shi'or to be mafresh challah, but altogether they do. So Tanakhama says you have to put them all together, stick them together in a way that they're mamash stuck together, and then you can be mafresh challah. And if not, you can't. Rabbi Eliezer omer, af harodeh v'notein lasal, even if you already took it out of the oven, that was like the malacha, they would take it, they would kind of peel, put it on the sides of the oven like pito, right, and they would peel it off. Even if you peeled it off, you already baked them, and you put them in a basket, hasal mitzarfan l'challah. You can even take challah at that later point, as long as they're in the same basket. There's a question, do they need to be touching or not, but they certainly don't need to be mushed together as dough. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. So what do you see? Shema Bina, it's clear from the fact that we have these two cases that we must paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in other cases, and when he said it, he only meant seder taharot. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, "Umay Uma Dahai Mehai? Why did you need to bring the challah case? Wasn't it enough of a proof just having one exception to the rule? Why did we need the second case?" So now they're going to say, "Mishum Dekai." Now it's going to be a little confusing today. We're going to have Rabbi Eliezer, who's our confusing in a different kind of way than it's usually. There's Rabbi Eliezer, who's a Tana. Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanos. There's Rabbi Elazar, who's a Tana, who's Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamoa. And later we're going to get to Rabbi Elazar, who's an Emora. Okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer ben Pida. Okay, so keep them in mind, right? There's Rabbi Elazar the Tana, and there's Rabbi Elazar the Emora. Okay, there's two of them, right?
So there's two Tanaim.
And there's Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, not to be confused with Rabbi Elazar. He's obviously our Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos. Okay, so Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa, we'll try to call them by name, even though the Gemara doesn't always call them by name. But Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa is the Tana. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa says, okay, he holds, we're now going to say, since, okay, the first case wasn't enough of a good proof. Why? Because when we said halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer, we were talking about cases where only Rabbi Eliezer said it. But in this case, Rabbi Eliezer held the same thing. And if he holds the same thing as him, well then, you didn't need to say the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, because we meant halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer when he stands alone. Okay, that's what we meant. So where do we see that he holds the same thing? And then soon we're going to say, actually, he doesn't hold the same thing. But for now, they think we do. Mishum dekai Rabbi Elazar kavate. Ditznan, Rabbi Elazar omer, malam dimetak tanasha tema'embo. It sounds the same, except the context is different. Okay, this is a different case. This is a case where a man is married to two women, not sisters. He dies without children, and the two sisters fall to the brothers for yibum. Now, what's the law? The law is that they marry one, and then right, one of the brothers marries one. At that point, remember, Yibum is only, we allow you to marry your brother's wife only because of Yibum. Otherwise, it's Asur Midoraita. So now they're supposed to marry. One of them marries. And once one of them marries, there's no chiyuv yibum. No one else is allowed to marry any of the other sisters. Not that one and not, I'm sorry, any of the other wives. Not that one and not any of the other brothers. In this case, there were two wives. One was Gedola, one was Ketana. So one was married Doraita, one was married Dorabanan. One brother, right away, got up and married the younger one, who was only married Dorabanan. Then, either he or another brother married the second wife, also. Now, he's not allowed to. But on,
the second wife goes in.
He's not allowed to marry the second wife. However, on a Doraita level, he is allowed to marry her, because on a Doraita level, there was no Kiddushin with the Ketana. But on a Dorabanan level, it's usher for him to be married to the second one, right? Because he already married the younger one. And the younger one, and at this point, neither can stay married to their husbands now. Because, let's just make it simpler, that two different brothers marry two different wives. Because the Ketana, even though she was the one married first, now that they married the older sister, the other one, the older wife, she now, on a Doraita level, she's forbidden to be married to the brother because her sister is, theoretically, on a Doraita level, was the first one married because her marriage didn't really, right? The first marriage didn't really count. Her Chiyuv Yibum didn't count.
But so, the first marriage, if he married the younger girl first or whoever married the younger girl, that should count because if she didn't do Mi'ud,
but it's only Nisuin Derabanan. It's only Nisuin Derabanan. It's only,
no matter what, any girl that, let's say I'm a Ketana.
She's a Ketana. Yibum is not, so again, first of all, now we're talking about Yibum, not marriage. Yeah, any Ketana is not married all right unless her father marries her off. If someone else marries her off, it's not. And Yibum also, when she's a Ketana, it doesn't fulfill the Yibum until she's actually a Gdola. So basically, the rabbis say, get from both, okay? Because neither can stay married on different levels. But Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa says, teach the Ketana, right? Tell her lima embo, and then you're totally fine. The older one can stay married. She doesn't need to get divorced. Okay, so now you see, so where were we? He holds like him, and that's why we pass like Rabbi Eliezer, more so because we pass like Rabbi Elazar, and therefore you didn't need to list that in the four things. And that's why we needed the case in Chala, because this case wasn't really part of the cases here. Umikai, but then they say, what do you mean? How can you say he holds like Rabbi Elazar and therefore would also hold like Rabbi Elazar, that they're the same thing? Vaha, okay, I'm not going to get into all the details, but the Gemara and Yevamot there, it's Ruche Mitzruchina, Levelo Damia Lahadadia. The Gemara there said these two cases aren't the same. Teaching the herd of Ma'in in that case is not the same as teaching the Ma'in in that case. And because of that, you can't learn, and they're not similar, those two cases, in which case you can't say we paskin like Rabbi Elazar because we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Shamot. They're two different cases, and you can't learn one from the other. So you can't say that that's the reason. But now they say, we have someone else who paskins like Rabbi Eliezer there, another Tana, and again, that's why he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer there, and that's why we didn't mention it, and that's why we need the Chala case to prove that that when we said the four, we only meant in Tahala. Ela mishum dekai Rabbi Yehuda ben Vava kavate. Okay, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. How do we know? Detanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Vava he'id chamishat varim. Remember, right? Adriot, he testified, the rabbis testified lots of things. Okay, this actually it appears in Adriot, Perek Vav. Five things. Number one, mima'anim etaktanot. Okay, we tell the ktanot to do miyun. We'll see in a minute how we know this is referring to Rabbi Eliezer also. Vishemisi'in etayishal pi'edachad. You can marry a woman whose husband went abroad and we don't know where he is. If one witness said he died, we can believe that and let her get remarried. We've seen this a bunch of times, right? That there was a case in Yerushalayim where a tarnagol pecked the head of a baby and killed the baby, and they stoned him as if, right, because a tarnagol is not a shore. Normally a shore gets niskal, but we treat a tarnagol like a shore in this case. These are five unconnected things. When you do nisuch hayayin on the mizbech, you need wine that can get you drunk. That's considered 40-day-old wine. Right, fermented 40 days. Ba'al tamid shel shachar shekarev ba'arba shaot. And the fact that theoretically you could do, now remember in Masechet Tamid, they did the tamid shel shachar early in the morning, but you could theoretically do it until 4 hours into the day. Two explanations about why they said this, what prompted this. One says it was by a Rishon, when Shlomo HaMelech was married to Bat Paro, and he would stay out all night and sleep late in the morning, and because of that they had to delay bringing the Korban Tamid. Some people say it's when the Cheshmonaim were fighting against each other, civil wars, and there were sieges, and there was one day where they would basically put money over the wall, get the sheep, One day they sent them goats instead of sheep, and they said, oh no, we can't do it. And they were fumbling around till they found in the Shkat HaTzalim there were actually two more sheep, and they used those and they were able to do it. But it got delayed, and because of that they said, oh well, you can still do it until Arba Shot. Okay, thanks to those people we could daven until 4 hours into the day. Now our days don't always start as early, at least some of us. Okay, so now going back, Mike Tanot. Lav chadad Rabbi Elazar v'chadad Rabbi Eliezer. Notice it said mimanim etaktanot. It didn't say mimanim etaktanah in one case. Sounds like it means two cases, which means he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, even if he doesn't, right? And he paskins like both of them in each case. So they say, no, maiktanot, ktanot alma. Ktanot could just mean young girls that are found in this one particular situation, and then theoretically maybe he's only holding like Rabbi Elazar, not necessarily Rabbi Eliezer. They say, no, but then it doesn't match the lashon later. What did it say? You can marry the isha al pi erachad. It should have said nashim, right? Ketanot nashim. So v'neim nashim da'alma. Ela midahacha katani isha, and it means all women that are in that particular situation. V'hacha katani ketanot, which therefore means ketanot in two different situations. Shma mina dafka katani shma mina. Okay, and therefore we prove well. There, this case isn't really a good test case because he really paskins that way because Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba paskins that way. And it wouldn't have been part of the cases anyway. Therefore, the Chala case proved that it's only Taharot because there's this other case in Chala. Bechen, okay, now we're starting a new section, but it connects with this. It's going to be very somewhat parallel, not exactly, but, and it's going to start with Rabbi Elazar, the Emora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat. Bechen Amar Rabbi Elazar, just like Shmuel said it, in Bavel, also Rabbi Elazar in Eretz Yisrael said, Halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer ba'arba'a. He said the same thing. Again, they're going to ask, V'tu leika, v'hatna, Rabbi Eliezer omer, melamdim et haktana shetim ayin bo, v'amar Rabbi Elazar, halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer. Right, so now we're going to say, right, there we have that case, and not only did Rabbi Eliezer say this, but Rabbi Elazar said, Rabbi Elazar the Amora said, halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. So we see he paskins like him even in other situations. Now, v'chi tema, now here we're going to obviously give the same answer, right? Well, that he meant only in Taharot, but we're going to have a problem with saying that, and it's going to be a little long till we get there. But remember that what we're trying to prove here is it's not possible that Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat thinks the halacha k'Rabbi Elazar only ba'arba'ah is in the halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ba'arba'ah is only in Taharot, okay? And therefore we're going to be left with the question, he seems to have a fifth. V'chi tema ki amar Rabbi Elazar halacha k'Rabbi Elazar be'arba, be'seder taharot, aval b'shar sidrei ika, but the other starim, we can hold like him in other cases. Umi ika, could that really be the case? V'hatnan, it says in the following Mishnah, in Shvi'it, okay, this has to do with Kedushat Shvi'it. Kedushat Shvi'it is on fruits, vegetables, foods, edible items, not non-edible items. Haveret, v'hakofer, v'halatom, v'haktaf, okay, four different things, rose, roses, like there's rose hip, things like that that come from roses. Kofar is henna, latom is rock rose, and ktaf is, most people say, from the balsam tree. Like they would take oils from it, and they use the sap, which is what we're going to talk about. The ktaf is the sap. If you remember, ktaf comes up, right? We say it in Pitum HaKtoret. It's part of the Ktoret. So it says about the following four things, which are mainly besamim, really, which shouldn't theoretically have kedushat shvi'it. Yesh lahem shvi'it, ulid mehem shvi'it. They have a din of shvi'it, kedushat shvi'it, and if you sell them, then the money has the status of Shemitah also, Kedusha. Yesh lehem bi'ur, lid mehem bi'ur. Another halach of Shemitah is applicable to them, which is as soon as there's no more out there in the field, you have to get rid of it in your house, because it says lecha ulebem techa. As soon as your animals don't have, you also can't have. So you have to get rid of them in your house. And even money, you have to get rid of also, because the money has the same status as the original fruit. Ba'amar Rabbi Pidat, man tana ktaf ha-peire. Now, who says that the ktaf is considered like a fruit? Rabbi Eliezer, okay? He's the one who holds this Mishnah, okay? Rabbi Eliezer. This Mishnah is only a libet to Rabbi Eliezer. V'amar Rabbi Zeira, in other words, meaning, if you don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer, what will you say? Ktaf is not really a fruit. It's just sap from a tree that's not considered fruit, and there's no kedushat shvi'it to it. So Rabbi Zeira comes and says to him, Amar Rabbi Zeira, chazei diminach u'me'avuch, it sounds like from you and your father, okay, Rabbi Pidat is the son, even though Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat, that's his father, obviously he called his son the same name, we've seen that many times. So he says, from you and your father together, kasharitu ktaf ala alma, I see that you matired everyone with ktaf, because you don't treat it that it has kedushat shvi'it. Why? Atamar mantana ktaf aperi Rabbi Eliezer, v'avuch amar halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer ba'arba'ah. And this is not one of the arba'ah. So what do you see? it must be that you don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in this Mishnah. You follow? Let's just track it, right? You said Ktafis Peri is only Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, not everyone's opinion. And your father said we only paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in four, and this is not one of them, meaning we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer here, meaning we don't paskin like this Mishnah. And he doesn't like the fact that he's saying that, right? Now, if really Halachat Rabbi Eliezer Ba'arba'a was only in Taharot, then what would Rabbi Pedat answer? Oh, well, my father said Arba'a, he only meant in Taharot, but this case also. So if Imita, if really that was the case, that another case is also be paskin like him, lemali he would say to him, ki amar abba halacha ka Rabbi Eliezer bar arba'a b'seder taharot av abishar sidrei ika. But he doesn't say that, and that proves that he obviously doesn't hold the halachas like him only bar arba'a and seder taharot. And we're back to our original question, elakashia hahi. So we're back to our original question, which was what? Rabbi Elazar ben Bedat said we hold like Rabbi Elazar in the miun, we like Rabbi Eliezer in the miun case. And that's not one of the four. So how could he have said four and not included the miyun case? So now we're going to give the same answer as before. Okay, the same answer, reject answer, which is Mishum Dekai Rabbi Elazar Kavate. Oh, the reason why that's not included is because Rabbi Elazar holds that way. Titznam Rabbi Elazar Omer Malam Dimitak Tanashitim Aimbo. Gemara questions, Umikai, could you really say that? Bahai Tsruchim Mitzruchinam Levelo Damila Hadade. The Gemara and Yavamot already said these two cases, you can't learn one from the other. So you can't say he paskas like Rabbi Elazar because he holds the same thing as Rabbi Elazar. They don't. Ela Mishum Dekai Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Kavate. Okay, so we resolve it by the same way we resolved the previous question, which is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Okay, now, Gemara still continues though and says, Vitu Leika, but there's really no others. Bahatnan, now we get into Atachonantanu. This is like an interesting daf with lots of different topics. You're supposed to say Atachonantanu at the end of a Moshe Shabbat in the Tefillah. When do you say it, right? We say it in the middle of the Bracha of Honen Adat. Interestingly, that opinion is not mentioned here. It is mentioned in the sources, they just don't quote it, that it comes in the middle of the fourth Bracha. That's Tanakama's opinion. But here we have a machloket of two other opinions. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Omra Bracha Rabbi Ipifne Atzma. It gets its own special bracha, like for example, Nachem on Tisha B'Av. We add in a whole bracha, okay? So bracha revi'i b'fnei atzma, and then you say chonein adat after. So you end up with an extra bracha in that Shmon Esrei. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Omra b'hoda'ah. You say it in modim, right? Interesting, right? It's hard, but we know we say it in Atachon Antanu. It seems so connected. But they say, no, you're supposed to put it in modim. Ba'amar Rabbi Elazar, halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer, here comes Rabbi Elazar the Amora that we've been talking about, and he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer in this case. So again, you see another case, how can you explain it? Amar Rabbi Abba, hahu de'amar mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. It's because Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, said that in the name of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, who's the son of Rabban Gamliel. He said it in his name, Damar Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. How do we know this? Titania, because it says in another bright that there's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel about this. Rabbi Akiva Omer Omra B'cha Rabbi B'fnei Atzma, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Omra B'hoda'a. Okay, that sounds very nice, except the Gemara says, V'ha kashish minei tufa, but what do you mean? Rabbi Eliezer was second generation Tana. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel was fourth generation Tana. He was much younger than him. Rabbi Eliezer was much older than him. It doesn't make sense that he would say something in the name of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So, what do we say? Ela mishum dekai Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel b'shitate. The reason why Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat paskin like Rabbi Eliezer was not because he paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, but because Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel went in his footsteps, and because of that he was paskin more like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, and not that he was paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why it's not listed. Now they're going to question, Umikai, does he really hold like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel? V'hatanya, does Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel really hold like even though we just saw, right? What did we see? We saw that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said Hoda'ah. And the whole thing was, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat holds like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Now we're going to say, it doesn't seem like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel actually holds the same thing. Even though we just saw it in the Braita, we're going to see a different source where it sounds like Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel held something else. Okay? What is that? V'hatanya, or Yom HaKippurim mitpalel sheva. Here's a fascinating source, okay? So, Yom Kippur, at night, you daven seven brachot, right? This we know this, right? You daven, it's one middle bracha, umitvadeh, and you do the vidoy, shacharit mitpalel sheva umitvadeh, musaf mitpalel sheva umitvadeh, right? Every tefillah of Yom Kippur has seven brachot in Shmon Esrei, and vidoy, mincha mitpalel sheva umitvadeh, b'ne'ila mitpalel sheva umitvadeh, that's the first strange thing. We don't do vidoy in ne'ila, interesting. The next thing is really interesting. Ba'arvit mitpalel sheva me'ein shmona asre. Amotzei Yom Kippur, you pray a me'ein shmona asre. What's that? The shortened version where you take all, right, this is if you're on the derech and it's dangerous and you can't really have time to daven, you can say a shortened version. So it's one tefillah that has the one, all the middle brachot form and jumble up into one bracha. What's the obvious reason why you do this Motzei Yom Kippur? Because everyone's hungry and it's a tircha, right? Everyone knows that feeling at the end of Yom Kippur, right? That last marav after everyone's been in shul all day and the marav is like, right? Everyone. So they were smart. They said, let's make it short. By the way, it's really interesting. The Rashbam quoted in Tosfot on Yoma, when it talks about this, has a different reason. He said that's not, and there's a fascinating shita. He says that the reason why you do it is because it's since you're still fasting, it's really still Yom Kippur for you. And therefore, Yom Kippur means seven brachot. Okay? But since it's chol, so you have to do Shmona Esrei. So you do Me'ein Shmona Esrei. It's fascinating, the thought, because then it should apply every Motzei Shabbat theoretically, but I guess the fact is, every Motzei Shabbat, so you're just not doing Malacha, but theoretically, you know, that's here we're saying the fact that you're continuing your fast actually is extending Yom Kippur, and it's there's some chalut of Yom Kippur. I thought it was fascinating. I have trouble really understanding how we could view that it's still Yom Kippur, and Marv on Saturday night is not like that. Anyway, it's an interesting shita. He says that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel mishum avotav almer, and here comes Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. He says in the name of his fathers, mitpalel shmona esrei. Now you have to say all 18 brachot. Why? Mipnei shetzarich lomar havdalah b'chonen hadat. So what do you see here? He doesn't hold hoda'ah. He doesn't hold behoda'ah in modin. He holds it in chonen hadat. So you see that maybe Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel doesn't really hold like Rabbi Lezer, and then we're stuck with the question again. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Oh, that was just quoted in his names of his fathers. That wasn't his opinion. His real opinion appeared in the Braita, and in fact, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel does follow Rabbi Eliezer, and again, that's the reason why Rabbi Eliezer ben Pedat didn't mention the son of five, because really it was possibly Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel who passed like Rabbi Eliezer, but it wasn't like a case where Rabbi Eliezer stood alone. Amrle Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira. Okay, now we're going back. This is the more complicated part. We go back to what Rabbi Zeira said. So let me just review. In the whole conversation, we brought in this Mishnah about the Bered, the Kofer, the Latom, the Ketav. They have a din of Shvi'it. Rabbi Pedat said, whose opinion is this? This opinion is Rabbi Eliezer, right? Who's Machmir. Okay? Remember that, right? So Rabbi Pedat says that the Mishnah in Shvi'it is Rabbi Eliezer only. Rabbi Eliezer only. Okay? To which Rabbi Zeira said, what are you talking about? If you say that, then everyone's going to mock you because we don't hold like Rabbi Eliezer in this case because it's not one of the four. Okay, that was Rabbi Zeira's question. So now we're going to go back to Rabbi Zeira. Amar le Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira. Ve'ad lo tizbara deman tana katva peri Rabbi Eliezer hi. You don't think that Mishnah in Shvi'it is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? It must be because look here. Ve'hatznan, it says in the Mishnah in Orla, Rabbi Eliezer omer, ha'ma'ami bisraf Orla asur. If you create, you use the sap of the orla to, right, ma'amid is usually to make cheese, right, right. You use it as the enzyme, okay, to curdle the cheese. A filu, okay, so what does he say? It's a sur. Why? You're using the sap, okay, of the tree, and it's considered like the pre of the tree that's orla. So what do you see? You would then say it has kedusha tvi. That's only Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim disagree there. So what do you see here? Right? That the Mishnah in Shvi really must be Rabbi Eliezer. So what were you having such... Why were you taking issue with Rabbi Pedat, who said it's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? It seems clear from the Mishnah in Orla. Right? We're going to assume right now that the Mishnah in Orla, where it says the Shraf it's of Orla is a sur, is the same case as the sap in the Shvi, which sounds pretty logical. So now, so he says to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, so what were you complaining? It's obvious it's Rabbi Eliezer's shita and not everyone's. So now we're going to say no. Afilu tema rabbanan, akan lo pligi rabbanan ale to Rabbi Eliezer, ela bekatva digabza. He was only arguing with him when we talked about the straf of the orla ma'amid. Where do you do that? You do it in the bark of the tree, right? It's the straf that comes from the tree trunk. Aval bekatve de pere, but if it's sap that comes out of the fruits, right, we all know there's a little sap that comes out of fruits also, module. So now we're going to say, no, what Rabbi Zera thought, that the Mishnah in Shvi'it was talking about sap from fruit. Okay? And that sap from fruit, even the rabbis would agree that it's usher, that it has kedusha, and that's what he said. The Mishnah in Shvi'it is the divrei akol. How do we know this? Ditnan. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Shamati beferush, Shamami b'sraf ha'alin, b'sraf ha'ikarim mutar, b'sraf ha'pagin asur. He distinguishes between the sraf that comes from the leaves and the trunk versus the sraf that comes from the unripe fruit on the tree. Okay, everyone agrees that the sraf that comes out of the pagim is asur mipnei shehu pri. That's one option. Ibai Dema, another option is to say, ki plige rabbana leje Rabbi Eliezer, in the orla case, that was b'ilan ha'ose perot. That's an ilan that has fruits. Now, if the ilan has fruits, then we're going to call the fruits of the tree fruits, and the sap is not fruit. And that's what Chachamim say. The sraf of the orla is not asur because it has its own fruits. Aval b'ilan she'eino ose perot, but if you have a tree that doesn't, it's actually a little counterintuitive, but if you have a tree that has no perot, then modu dikitvo zehu piryo. Then it has no other fruits. The only fruit this tree has is its sap. That's the Mishnah in Shvi'it is talking about, a case where it doesn't make peyrot, and then its sap is its fruit. In which case, Rabbi Zeir is saying, this really is aliwa dekulei alma. Even Rabbanan will agree in that case that it's aser. Well, that has kedusha to it. Ditnan, how do we know this is the case, that you could say the sap is its fruit? Because it says in the following Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein laktav shvi'it, v'chachamim omrim yesh laktav shvi'it, mepnei shekitvo zehu piryo. What do you see here? Chachamim say, its sap is its fruits, and notice it's chachamim. So what is that you see there, right? It must be, you can only say its sap is its fruit when it doesn't have fruit. If its fruit is its fruit, then its fruit is its fruit. It's only if there is no fruit. Man chachamim, so obviously, who is this position of chachamim? Lav rabbanan de pligei leid Rabbi Eliezer. This must be the rabbis who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer. Do say, though, that when there is no other fruit on the tree, then the sap will have the same halacha. That's the Mishnah in Shvi'it. In Orla, when we talked about that you can be ma'amid, and chachamim say you can, that's talking about a tree that has fruits, and you use the sap, well then, that's not going to be problematic. So Amar Le'ahu, so they're going to assume here the Chachamim must be those. But Amar Le'ahu Saba, but this older person who's sometimes associated with Eliyahu and Avi, okay, said, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan man Chachamim Rabbi Eliezer, Damar kitvo zeu peryo. They said, no, the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Shimon is actually Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Okay, it's not the Chachamim. E Rabbi Eliezer, my iria, so now they say, what do you mean? How could you say that's Rabbi Eliezer? If it's Rabbi Eliezer, my iria ilan sheino oseh pri. Afilu ilan oseh pri kitvo zeu priyo. But then it doesn't make sense to say, right? It would be in any tree. We already said Rabbi Eliezer holds any tree. So what do they say? Oh, no, this is how you read that. When it says the rabbis say, what they're saying is, l'divrehem de rabbanan ka'amr lehu. They're speaking a liba according to the Chachamim's opinion, and they're saying like this. Lididi, according to me, Rabbi Shimon saying, Afilu ilan hose peiro nami kitfozeo peiro. I think all the time we treat the ktaf as a fruit. But lididhu, according to you, oduli miyad, at least admit to me, be ilan sheno se peiro te kitfozeo peiro. Verabanan amre loshna. So the second answer that we gave, that we can distinguish between ilan hose peiro and not, and we can prove it by this source, this Mishnah, they reject and they say, no, that could just be Rabbi Eliezer saying to the rabbis, you should agree with me in that case, even if you, and they say basically, we don't. Okay, going back now to, that was all this digression about Rabbi Eliezer. We're now back to, within Rabbi Eliezer and also Rabbi Yeshua, they talked about this betula. So, ezihi betula. Again, this all came from the four women that are dayashata, and that we said we hold like Rabbi Eliezer. So Ezi, which who said it, all four women. Ezi betula kol shelo ra'ata, right? It's someone who never got her period. Tanu Rabbanan, niseit v'ra'ata dam machmat nisuin, yalda v'ra'ata dam machmat leida. Here's a fascinating line, okay? Two cases. A woman could be married. This sounds logical, again, not in our day as much, but women in those days got married very young and had dam betulim, okay? That's dam machmat nisuin, which that doesn't mean she got her period yet, right? Just because she has dam betulim. Or she was a yalda who never got her period. V'ra'ata damach mat leida, but somehow got pregnant. Right? This is fascinating. They say, since she never got her period, even though she got pregnant, which is indicative that she theoretically had a, you know, potential period, since she never saw dam, this is also an interesting thing in terms of reality versus what we saw, what we see, like how we prove things. Since she never once saw dam, she's still considered a betula and daya sha'ata for her. Okay? Adayin ani korela betula, share betula, sha'amru betula, tamim, velo betula, betulim. Okay? They meant betula, right? Not virgin that we usually use virgin. Virgin as virgin of blood, meaning never had blood before. Ini, is that really true? Hama Rav Kahana said, Tana, gimel betulotin, betulat adam, betulat karka, betulat shikma. He says there's three types of betulot. Notice which one's missing. Ours. Ours is not listed here. What are they? We're going to see right now. Mitulat adam kozman shelo nivala. Okay, that's our typical virgin. Nafkamina, what's the nafkamina of that halacha? Lekohen gadol, who has to marry a betula. Inami lektubata matayim, right? She gets a double the amount in her ktuba, she gets matayim. If she's not a betula anymore, she only gets 100. Betulat karka, what's this? Kozman shelo nevda, it's work, land that's never been worked. What's the relevance halachically? Nafkamina lenachal etan, that you have to do the egla rufa by land that's never been worked, because it says nachal etan asher lo yavaba, something like that. There's a bit of a debate, because otherwise it said the nachal is actually a streaming nachal. Some people say nachal etan means it's virgin land. How exactly we relate to this, some people say it's a machloket tana'im. There's a bit of a debate about this. Maybe it means the land near the water that's streaming is this, right? If you remember, we talked about it not too long ago, you have to bring the egla rufa to Nachal Eitan, and that's where you do the ceremony. Inami lemekach umemkar, if you sold someone karka betula, it's considered better land because it's never been worked before, and therefore, and then you give them something else, right? They could claim, what do you mean? You promised me virgin land. This isn't virgin land. Betulat shikma, sycamore betula, what does that mean? Kozman shalonik tzitza, you've never, now the sycamore tree, they would use mostly for the wood, and they would cut it down, and then it would grow more, right? You cut it down, grow more, and somehow, there seems to be this assumption that if it was never cut before, then the first time you cut it, it grows even more. So if you, so again, we're going to see, nafkamina lemekach umemkar, okay, so that basically you sold someone, you know, you committed to a betulat shikma, you didn't sell them that. Inami lemiktsitza b'shvi'it, or for the halachas of cutting it on the shmita year, kiditznan enko tzitzim betulat shikma b'shvi'it mipnei shehi avodah. Okay, it's considered more work to do the cutting of the first time from any other time. Like certain trees you can cut if they're in your way, things like that. But the sycamore, if it's never been cut before, so there's a problem with shmita of cutting it. Vim'ita, now again, if bitula meant bitulat amim, litnei nami, ha, it would have been listed here. So we're going to have several answers to this. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, ki katani, this list where he listed this Tana, Shalosh betulot him betulat adam betulat karka betulat shikma midi delet leshem levai ava midi delet leshem levai lo katane. He only listed things that you could call them virgin and everyone would know what you're referring to. But when it comes to a woman who's never menstruated, they only call her virgin if they would use the word betulat damim. They would never use it without that term. So maybe that's why, right? They're going to basically say this list has these three things are similar in one way that the fourth is not. Rav Sheshet Bered Rav Idi Amar ki katane midi detali b'maaseh. All those are connected with a ma'aseh, that no ma'aseh was done to them. To lo tali b'ma'aseh, but a woman not getting her period, no ma'aseh is done to have her period, it comes naturally. Lo katani. So that's not mentioned because of that. Rabbi Chinin Abiraidra of Ikamar, ki katani midi de lo hadra libriato. It will never go back to its original state. All those other things, you can't return your virginity to someone, you can't return. But midi de hadra libriato lo katani, but a woman who never gets her period will eventually never get her period when she's menopausal. It's a little far off in time, but theoretically. Rabina Amar ki katani midi de kapirale. Zvina midi de kapirale zvina. Midi de lo kapirale zvina lo katane. So they're going to say now, oh, those are things that when people buy, they want specifically that. Okay, interesting, right? To think about a woman, they don't really mean buy, but they mean when a man marries a woman, it's considered a good thing if she's a virgin. But nobody ever says, like, oh, I want to marry someone who's never gotten a period before. That's a weird thing. Okay? And the other things also, when you're purchasing them, they're more preferable. Now the Gemara says, "V'lo kapte," what people don't want, people who haven't gotten their period before. V'hatanya, Rabbi Chi Omer, kashem shehaseor yafet. Oh, sorry. Here they're going to say "lo kapte" in the reverse. You dafka want someone who's not betulat amim. Why? Because Rabbi Chiya says, "Kashem shehaseor yafet laisa kach damim yafin lisha." If you already have a period, so she can get pregnant. That's why they wanted to marry women so they could have children. V'tani mishum Rabbi Meir, kol isha shedameha merubim, paneha merubim. She has a, this is like basically saying, and a lot of blood, but they mean a regular cycle, then she's more likely to get pregnant. Ela, ki katani midi de kafetza lezvina. It's something that you want, and it's not that there's no relevance to it, but it's that people would jump to do it. Midi de lo kafetza lezvina lo katani. And dafka, this is something people wouldn't want because she's not going to necessarily get pregnant right away. Okay, an interesting debate here about how to view women without their periods, getting, you know, whether they're more optimal for getting married or whether it's kind of irrelevant, or women who have gotten their periods, or it's not so relevant. Tanu Rabbanan, so that was the end of all those possible answers as to why it wasn't listed. Last line for today, Ezoi betula karka, kol shamalet rishushin. Okay, it has like little rocks coming up, little pebbles. Ve'ena parati choch, it's not soft, the land. Nimtza b'cheres, if you find cheres in there, bi'adua shenevda, then you know for sure that someone must have worked the land, otherwise how would pot or, you know, shards get there? Sunma, harezo betula karka, just remind me what sunma is.
Subterranean.
Oh, right, rock. If you find... right, underground, you find rocks there, then you know it's betula karka, because otherwise they would have taken out the rocks from there. Okay. That's just in terms of identifying how you would know.